the introit, circumderunt me gemitus mortis dolores, infine circumderunt me, et in tribulatione me invocavi Dominum, et exavit de templo sancto suo voce mea. The sorrows of death surrounded me, the sorrows of hell encompassed me, and in my affliction I called upon the Lord, and he heard my voice from his holy temple. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The introit this week maps out for us the divine plan for Septuagesima. Although sorrow and hell press upon us, if we do our diligence in the life of faith, the Lord from his holy temple hears us. Today we could consider the nature of the season, the thoughts of St. Paul from our epistle, and lastly take a moment to be inspired by today's recessional hymn. Regarding the season, Septuagesima is a season constituted of the 3 weeks immediately preceding Lent. It forms one of the principal divisions of the liturgical year and is itself divided into three parts, each part corresponding to a week. The first called Septuagesima, the second Sexagesima, the third Quinquagesima. All three are named for their numerical references to Lent. Lent, which in the language of the church is called Quadragesima, that is 40, because the great feast of Easter is prepared for by the exercise undertaken during the 40 days. Septuagesima reminds us of the same great solemnity that is due. The church would have us, even now, begin to direct all of our thoughts, our desires, our devotions toward this end. Quadragesima, as preparation, is kept observing a heightened recollectedness in penance. Quadragesima, aka Lent, is one of the most powerful means employed by the church to excite the hearts of her children in the way of the spirit of their Christian vocation. The season of grace, Quadragesima, preceded by this Septuagesima, is then of the utmost importance. If we live out these weeks correctly, it contributes toward the renovation of the whole spiritual life. It is the primary diligence discussed earlier that we must do. The church therefore gives us these weeks of Septuagesima, during which she withdraws us as much as may be from the noisy distractions of the world, in order that our hearts may be more readily impressed by the solemn warning that will soon be given to us when our foreheads, like a shot across the bow of a ship going astray, are marked with ashes, reminding us of the real power structure of God's kingdom. Helping us to gather our thoughts more, too, on Septuagesima, in his letter to the Corinthians today, St. Paul remarks on the value of understanding life under the image of a race. This image may seem like a reach to us, but we can remember that St. Paul intentionally makes his language, his analogies, very real and accessible, even lively. He explains that in this world, there is a race wherein we all must run, and that they alone who run well will win the prize. He urges us, therefore, that we ought rid ourselves of everything that could impede and make us lose our possible crown. This would have many aspects then. It might include practices such as simplifying and decluttering our lives on the physical level, or in review of our conscience in these 70 days, we are offered the chance to take account of the most troubled parts of our soul and focus on renovating and improving. Again, like the runner, though, conditioning the body and refusing extra cargo, we should plan and look forward to living out our 70 days well. Maybe we think that we are a well-honed Christian athlete already, but can we be so sure? Is that wise? Let us not deceive ourselves. We are never to be sure until we reach the goal. What if we were to compare ourselves with St. Paul? Are our good works better done or more meritorious than were his? He invites us to make the comparison, you know, in his letters. Even St. Paul was not without fear that he might perhaps be lost. And for such reason, he chastised his body and kept it in subjection to the Spirit. This point has been discussed from time to time at our regular catechism classes or book study, that rightly ordered, the body must be subject to the soul. Good to note, because man in his present state, as a son of Adam, has a bias inclined to do evil things. To get ahead of the problem, then, we do this diligence that St. Paul suggests, even making sacrifices of the flesh in deference to the Spirit. A local note comes to mind, keeping his cards close to the vest in his first year as Archbishop. Archbishop Henning did give us one important priority, and that is to renew our allegiance to, our fidelity to, fasting on Fridays all year long. The Archbishop was certain to document this and remind us of that. Let us be about that business, and that we do the good that comes from denial of appetites during this 70 days of Septuagesima. Some degrees of fasting will help us to better run this Christian race that St. Paul mentions. Finally, referencing the hymn, which is our recessional hymn today, it is number 136 in the Red Worship II hardcover books. It's appropriate because it draws our attention to the source of the problem. It hinges on our connection to Adam. The lyrics of this recessional hymn remind us of the big picture in that way, of the struggle that is at hand. The title, "In Adam We Have All Been One." This hymn gives us the pattern that resembles the introit and even the style that's often used in the Psalms. It points out, even poetically, the problem. That is, as mankind, we are united to Adam, and we have participated in his rebellion. We have fled from God's graces, too often isolating ourselves in our own sins. And our hatred brings us even to the point of murder of our brethren. The hymn mentions these things. It presents for us, too, for our reflection, the central mystery of God, the way in which we see the turnaround is possible, in the way that we bank on Christ, in whom we place all our hope. The hymn indicates that even though we have not loved God, he extends his love and his salvation. It reminds us that without God we can do nothing, and that the Spirit actively reaches and teaches us the truth and gives us the chance to be one, not in the sorely difficult way with Adam, but one with God. As in the hymn, now finally united with Christ, our voice then can go before the Father's eternal throne. This is a fitting hymn for today, for our perspective as we consider our diligent penances and practices, which are capable of being effective toward the end of restoring our relationship with God. In the midst of many problems through Christ, our voice can be heard by the Father. We have then considered Septuagesima. Holy Church seeks to excite the hearts of her children to the spirit of their Christian vocation. We have pondered the way in which life can be compared to a race, per St. Paul. Are we dismissing attachments and behaviors that weigh us down? We need those to be gone. And lastly, we drew inspiration from the hymn itself, today's recessional hymn, though fallen hard with Adam, we must count on rising with Christ, who is our great hope. Circumdederunt me genitus mortis dolores, inferni circumdederunt me, et in tribulationem me invocavi Dominum, et exavit de templo sancto suo vocam mea. That's the introit. The sorrows of death surrounded me, the sorrows of hell encompassed me, and in my affliction I called upon the Lord, and he heard my voice from his holy temple. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.